Pictures of practice. Too many rules on the playground. Teachers of 3 to 5 year olds from International School of Billund in Billund, Denmark. A lot of rules. It is early September, and Marina Benavente Barbon, lead teacher, and Carolina Ayala, assistant teacher, are on the playground with their class of 14 5-year-olds. Many in the class are learning English at school, and several have documented special needs. During the hour-long outdoor play period, Marina and Carolina find themselves saying no more than yes. Several children want to climb and pick the apples from one of the small trees on the edge of the playground, but Carolina stops them, explaining that this is against the rules. Toby, a child with special needs, sees friends and siblings from older classes through the fence and tosses a ball to them. Marina stops the game. Throwing things over the fence is not allowed. In fact, there are many rules created by the teachers, administrators, and school caretaker to keep children safe and prevent undue wear and tear on the playground, including no going up the slide, bicycle riding is only allowed on the bike track and in one direction, playing with apples that fall from the tree is not allowed, no throwing items over the fence, no digging outside of the sandbox, no playing with tree branches, and trees are not for climbing. Frustrated that he cannot act on his ideas to play with the ball, Toby runs off, opens the door to the school, and disappears inside. Marina sighs as she follows him. This happens so often. She begins to wonder, is having so many rules on the playground interfering with children's play and learning? What if we tried something else? A playful idea and a risk. Later that week, Carolina and Marina attend their first Pedagogy of Play study group meeting of the school year. At ISB, teachers are organized into study groups that meet regularly during the year to investigate how to support playful learning. At the meeting, teachers consider which question related to play and learning they're interested in exploring. Marina pitches an idea to Carolina. We keep getting messages about learning through play, but I keep feeling like I have to stop it. Like when they were counting the apples and learning math, why should I stop that? I feel like I get told 2 different things all the time, and I don't think that is fair for the kids. Within a few minutes, Carolina and Marina agree to focus on a risky but important question. What happens when we have fewer rules on the playground? Other teachers are intrigued, yet worried about the implications of asking such a question. Marina reassures them that they will address the question as an experiment and document what happens. With previous experiences working at schools where rules were not to be questioned by children or teachers, Carolina and Marina feel they are taking a risk, but they also feel supported to give it a try. Planning the experiment. Just 2 rules. Over the next few days, Marina and Carolina explain their plans to the children and talk about what it means to conduct research. This is a powerful message for the kindergartners, who were not aware of their teachers' roles as teacher researchers, but who now have the opportunity to participate in an authentic experiment. With the children, Marina and Carolina create green freedom bracelets and explain that when the children put these bracelets on, they only need to follow 2 rules on the playground. We take care of each other, and we take care of the materials on the playground. Documenting and sharing the documentation. The following week, children head out to the playground with bracelets on their wrists. Each day, Marina and Carolina film short video clips of the children's play and write observations in their notebooks. The children ride their bicycles on the part of the playground not normally allowed, throw the ball over the fence with the older children, and pick and gather apples from the apple tree. Surprisingly, there are no injuries or broken equipment. Reviewing the video footage later, Carolina and Marina make 5 observations. The children did not do anything too risky, even though they could have. The children created their own safety rules. The children needed less grown-up supervision. The children felt trusted. And the children shared their ideas and plans with us and asked us for input. Marina and Carolina also observe children interacting with peers in different classes. They see runners staying in the playground without trying to escape the school. Toby and some others in the class, finally enjoying being outside, try new things. Marina and Carolina witness happier children, fewer incidents, and no material or trees damaged during the whole week. 2 weeks later, the study group gathers to watch the videos and read the reflections Marina and Carolina post to their shared digital learning space called Padlet. Some of the teachers observe the children having fun, being more creative than they usually are, and taking risks. The bracelets give them freedom, explains Tova. I wonder if we have too many rules because rules are made to be broken. We could rethink our rules because fewer rules are better. I think it's cool what you are doing. Julia notes that it might not be safe where the children decide to play. Megina, the facilitator, shares that she saw children being safe. It does make me think that they are capable of making wise choices if trusted and adults are there. They did have 2 rules, that the children needed to stay safe and keep materials safe. I wonder if those are enough if the teachers and the children know that they are negotiating limits as they go. Several other teachers wonder if having fewer rules may help children play more fully. Someone suggests adding classes one by one to try the experiment, documenting as they go. June asks if it is okay to try the experiment without asking permission from the school caretaker. To me, it seems disrespectful to break rules that have been set by someone who is in charge of the playground, without even asking. Tova agrees. If something really bad happens and a child falls and hurts his head, and it's something we allowed, I'm just thinking about insurance in that case, then we are responsible. Carolina and Marina acknowledge that their idea is controversial, and thank their colleagues for their thoughtful comments. Carolina understands the safety concerns, but notes that she saw older children being careful and kind with the younger children, noting, I think this is something we could help them with, and also help the small ones to trust the big ones and to play with them. Marina agrees and wraps up the discussion. For me, it's called the playground. It's for playing. I think we need some rules, but too many rules make it difficult for the children and difficult for us. So maybe next time, when we make the rules, the administrators could come and talk to us and ask us what rules do we think are necessary. And maybe they could observe how the kids play. So I think in that way, maybe we could do it together so we don't have to keep saying no, no, no. Sharing documentation with the children. Encouraged by the study group's open and supportive conversation, Marina and Carolina decide to push their research further and share their documentation with their class. They watch a video excerpt with the children and discuss. Marina says, "Who remembers how you use this?" as she holds up one of the green bracelets. Viva responds, "When we have the bracelets, then we can do anything and ride everywhere, bike on the blue part. And then you and Carolina are going to go around with a camera." Lucy says, "You said we had to be nice to each other." And Marina responds, "Yes, that was one rule. Actually, there were just 2 rules. Do you remember the other one?" Kristoff says, "Take care of our things." And Anja adds, "And we have to take care of the little ones." Several children also use the word fun to describe the experience. Devani declares, "I can teach them," explaining that he wants to teach the young children about the two rules. Revisiting the documentation allows children to share their perspectives about play and rules on the playground. But Marina and Carolina are not quite sure what to do next. They hope other teaching teams will be interested in experimenting with fewer rules, but they need support from the school leadership to push this idea further. Going public to school leadership. At a leadership team meeting, Marina shares documentation from the research process. The leadership's responses are overwhelmingly positive. One administrator appreciates, "There are just two rules, and they are so simple." The school's communications manager wonders what would happen if the children started the year with only two rules. Everyone in the room acknowledges that too many rules can limit creativity, make the children feel stressed, and get in the way of learning. They agree that rulemaking can be seen as a dance in which teachers and children negotiate limits in an ongoing, iterative way. They also agree that the school caretaker should be part of the process and follow up with him. When key points from the meeting are shared back with the study group, the teachers are thrilled to hear about the leadership team's support. Opening a door. In study group meetings over the next few months, respectful and productive conversations about negotiating rules continue. Although no permanent or official changes are made to the playground rules, Marina feels the experience enabled children to feel more powerful and capable in their outdoor play, and also pushed her thinking. "This was so early in the year, but I learned that the children could handle the responsibility. All of them could. That impressed me because I wasn't sure, given their maturity, given their ability to balance their feelings." Perhaps most importantly, through her inquiry, Marina learned that if something was not working at the school, she could effectively advocate for change, explaining, "My mindset changed as I realized that I could push for different possibilities. It was like opening a door